amazing to me whenever we have a young man or a young couple who have given themselves to serve the Lord and have yielded to the ministry, especially to missions, and come to this special occasion. I'm well aware that we've already had some good preaching tonight, and it's not our intention to keep you here painfully long, but I do want to give a word of admonition tonight, not only to this couple, but to all of us as a church family and to our guests who are here with us this evening. Dr. Wingard referred to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. We are studying the book of Acts together here on Sunday nights, and it's been some weeks since we were in Acts chapter 1. But if you would, please turn back there for just a moment. And remember here with me these final words of Jesus Christ. And while you're turning, let me ask you this question. Why go? Why go to Yap? We didn't tell them where Yap is, did we, Paul? If you want to get to Yap, you go to Guam and turn left. And it's hundreds of miles down in the South Pacific, in the middle of the beautiful blue water. And there are tiny little islands by the thousands all over that part of the world. And people there that need the Lord Jesus. People there who need to be saved. And that's why they're going. Because here, in the words of our Lord, the final thing that He said on this earth, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Yap, uttermost part of the earth. It really is. It's in the far reaches of the oceans. It's a long, long way from home. But there are souls there for whom Christ died. As surely as He died for every soul that sits here in this room tonight. And had someone not come to us and given us the message of salvation through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we would not know the Lord. And unless someone takes that message to them, they will not know the Lord. For how shall they hear without a preacher? And tonight we have a new preacher who's going to take that gospel and his family and go and live among those people and show them what Christian living is all about and teach them what Christianity is and how they too can come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. These last words of our Lord unto the uttermost part of the earth, indeed, as we've heard quoted tonight, ought to be the first words that we're concerned about. There are just four statements I want to make tonight. I'll probably make more than four sentences. But four things I want you to know. These disciples who gathered around our Lord, and you can read from verse 1 down through verse 11, were, after having received this command, stood there watching the Lord ascend, heard the angel say, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven." Until Jesus comes back, our responsibility is to fulfill what He said would happen in verse 8. To have that spiritual power in our lives and then to go and tell others. The first simple truth is this. Disciples need enlistment. They need to be enlisted. Why? Because of the passion of the Lord. His passion is that we receive this power and then be His witnesses to the world, to everybody, everywhere. It is a minority of the geography of the earth that has access to the gospel. The majority is without it tonight. And if you look at a map and consider the great multitudes of people that are without the Lord, many young people here tonight who've considered missions as a possible calling for their life should take heart from what this couple is doing tonight and from what the Lord has called them to do tonight. And we have missionaries around this room, as surely as we have missionaries around this world, who are responding to that call and who are being enlisted by this power of God because of the passion of the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only must we enlist people to go and represent the Lord, disciples need encouragement. And here's your encouragement, Paul. Not just the Lord's passion, which is why you go, but the Lord's presence, which is how you stay. He will go with you, he said. Lo, I am with you always, in the Great Commission in Matthew 28. But that presence is guaranteed to us on the basis of a number of things that we see in this text. In verse 3, we see the reality of his resurrection, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. Jesus Christ is alive, and we are as secure as he is alive. Because as surely as we've been justified by his death, we are secure by his resurrection, an intercession for us at the right hand of the Father. Therefore, we have nothing to fear. Although we may leave home, he never leaves us. Although we leave friends and family behind, the Holy Spirit goes with us and in us. And because of that, we have the power that we need. But we see not only the reality of his resurrection, we see the reality of his own rapture. It says in verse 9, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. The reason we must go is because he is gone. He's gone to prepare a place for us, he tells us in John 14. And we remain here to beseech men in Christ's stead that they be reconciled to God. It's our responsibility to stay here and do what he did while he was here. We must do as his body what he did in his body. And therefore, we are to go for the same reason that he went. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. So we must go into the world to save sinners. And that's a very real responsibility, as well as being a very real privilege that God has given to us who know Christ and who are called to do this. But we also are motivated and encouraged by the reality of his return. This same Jesus shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go. Christ is coming back. And every one of us will give an account of how we've spent our lives and how we've invested our energies in service for him. And we are either building wood, hay, and stubble, or gold, silver, and precious stones based on what we do with what we've been given. So disciples need enlistment. Disciples need encouragement. But disciples need enlightenment as well. Not only are we motivated by his passion and by his presence, but we are led by his plan, and we operate according to the plan that he has given to us. Here in verse 8 that we've read tonight, we see that first we are burdened about our community, as surely you have been. You've brought friends and neighbors here tonight, as you have done before, Brother Paul. And having been faithful in reaching his neighbors for Christ, now he's ready to go and reach others for Christ. You don't become a missionary by virtue of getting on an airplane and flying across the water. You become a missionary by realizing a mission and accepting it. Paul and Sherry have done that. And I wonder how many people here tonight think that someday, somewhere, they'll serve God with their lives. But the Bible says to us tonight that we must begin to serve God right here, right now. That we are witnesses in Jerusalem, and then Judea, and then Samaria, and then the uttermost parts of the earth. Like tossing a stone into a pool of water whose surface is as still as can be. The ripples continue on until they reach the shores, regardless of how far that might be. And so the influence of our lives ought to be like those ripples that move out from that simple stone tossed into the surface of that water. At first, it's near, but eventually, it's far. And it cannot be stopped when it's motivated by the power of God. But the stone must be tossed somewhere, and it has to begin. And I would encourage you tonight to follow the example that Paul and Sherry have given to all of us by being burdened about, concerned about, and involved in the lives of those that are near, because that's exactly how they will reach the lives of those who are far. And so it is in all of our lives tonight. Begins with the community, extends into the country, finally reaches the continent for Jesus Christ. That's his plan. But there's a final thing we see here. Disciples need enablement. We can share his passion. We can rejoice in his presence. We can be committed to his plan. but we must have His power if we're going to do anything for God. In the Great Commission that we read in Matthew chapter 28, He said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and disciple the nations." What did He mean when He said, "all power"? That's an interesting word. It's the Greek word exousia. It means authority. The Great Commission gives us authority. Acts 1:8 gives us ability. We take that authority that we're given in Matthew 28, but then we need the ability that we're given here. This is the word dunamis, from which we get our word dynamite. It means the strength, the explosive power to be able to do what God has called us to do. And Paul, as you go to Yap, you have the authorization from the Lord. This ordination does not merely give you that authorization. It acknowledges that we recognize from the fruit of your life that you've been given that authorization by God. You must go in the power that can only come through the Holy Spirit of God. And that daily filling of the Spirit and that daily saturation, as Pastor Shoemate said, with the Word of God is how you maintain that power. What a tremendous truth. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You go to a dark place, a depraved place. And as we said in your ordination council, you have far more to fear from the depravity of your own heart than from the depravity of the field in which you serve. Keep yourself close to God. Love Him and serve Him and be dedicated to Him. I read some years ago that back near the turn of the century, a great missionary conference was being held at Moody Church in Chicago. I'm sure the statistics have changed, and I may not be accurate, but I'd like to take the illustration of something that was done in that conference and apply it here tonight. In fact, maybe someone would be burdened to produce such a device for us here for use in our missions conference. But they had a light that looked very much like a traffic signal with a red light, an amber light, and a green light. And this, of course, is a very new device. It was not at the turn of the century, but after automobiles had first come into fashion. And these new devices were now being used to control traffic. And they had it timed somehow so that the amber light would come on for a moment to represent every time a missionary of any denomination left the shores of America to take the gospel to the foreign field. They had it timed so that the green light would come on every time a dollar was given for foreign missions. And the red light came on every time a soul somewhere in the world left this life for eternity. I'm sure it would come as no surprise to you if we were to apply the numbers from Faith Baptist Church to such a device. We would see the green light, which represents a dollar being given to foreign missions, coming on approximately every 5 hours. We would see the amber light, not just for the missionaries of this church, but for the missionaries of every denomination throughout this country, coming on once every 35 hours. We would see the red light, which represents souls going out into eternity, coming on 100 times every minute. And it puts a perspective on the sacrifices that we make. And you say, how can we get more people to go? Well, Paul, you've told them. Just go. And how can we get more people to give? Just give. Because people are dying without the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful for that day when the gospel was brought to me. I've heard it said before that no one has a right to hear the gospel twice until everyone's heard it once. I'm not really sure the Lord would share that view. I sure am thankful He brought it to me again and again and again and again until I understood it and until I believed it. And there are probably some people in this room tonight who've heard the gospel over and over and over again. But what about you tonight? Here's a man who's given his life to go and take the gospel around the world. And you sit here. Does it make any sense at all that you participate in a service where a man is sent out to take the gospel to others while you yourself do not receive that gospel to save your soul? If you're here tonight without Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, perhaps you've come tonight to honor this couple and to express your friendship to them. And for that, they're thankful, as are we all. What greater way to honor them than to believe the gospel to which they've given their lives, to receive Christ as your personal Savior? For you to be saved tonight would do far more for them than you might ever imagine. So I admonish you, if you've never trusted Christ, do so tonight. If you have trusted Christ but you're not serving Him, the best way you could honor this couple tonight is to join in that yoke with them as co-laborers in the gospel. Father, thank you tonight for your wonderful goodness to us. Thank you tonight for your marvelous grace. Thank you tonight for this couple, for their dedication to serve you. And Father, we pray that you would bless and encourage and strengthen them as they go to represent the Lord in Yap. Strengthen them and meet every need, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. Now with your